Hi everyone, this is Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. Okay, so I'm having a very strange day. Apparently YouTube with my PCTV channel is now interfering or we're being hacked. There's this monkey that comes up and I am trying to connect with going live and they're not allowing me to go live. They're now saying the videos on that channel have disappeared. And yet they seem to still be on YouTube. So there's some kind of weird hacking going on. We have an audience sitting on YouTube that's coming back over here to Facebook. And we're going to try to connect with Simon right now. The trouble is actually, Simon, can you say something?
I can say hello to you and hello to the audience.
Excellent. Okay. And what I'm going to hope is this is sort of a completely different platform. So I don't know if I can show you on this screen because this may not have the facility to show your desktop. I've never gone live on Facebook before. So okay. I just realized that that's kind of a problem.
Hey, Kerry, do we still have visual though? Do the audience have video or is it just audio?
Well, they've got video of me, and I'm trying to figure out how to bring you on it. So we're on a conversation, but we're on Skype. Okay, so this is just working kind of by the seat of our pants, trying to figure out how to do all of this correctly.
Hi, Kerry. Simon here.
Hi. Okay, now you're on a different computer altogether, and I'm going to try to...
What I'm saying is it going to go onto YouTube and be recorded, or is it just a live broadcast?
It's a live broadcast being recorded on Facebook, which I will then download and put on
Fantastic.
YouTube.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Great.
So when YouTube is working again, and who knows why YouTube suddenly thinks it's not working or has decided not to work for me. So it's kind of an odd situation going on. So I've got you here, and... kind of awkward, but anyway, okay, Simon, it's lovely to have you on my show. This is completely bizarre, but YouTube seems to have stopped working, at least for the moment, and we're going to check back in on that during this conversation, but we figured we'd bring you on live here just because we shouldn't let anything stop us, right?
Well done.
So why don't you go ahead and we were going to talk about the Manted agenda. That's one of the big subjects here. And that was because Brett Stewart had done a remote viewing. And the reason his remote viewing even matters is that Brett Stewart and his team got excellent results when they viewed the Nazca aliens. And so that's why we really... want to be able to talk about that because they were dead on before Gaia TV and their investigative team came up with answers. Brett Stewart and his team, which was a very small team, just him and one other person on that particular story, got bullseye. Everything checked out in terms of the real world. So that's kind of a unique situation in which a remote viewer has gotten... real evidence that their remote viewing is accurate. So when he remote viewed recently, what in essence was their Urantia book, the author of Urantia book was the target as well. He ended up with the Mantids. And then he ended up with information about the Mantid agenda. So that is a really interesting story. I don't know if you saw his YouTube, it's about 20 minutes long. Did you have time to see that?
Yes, I did. You very kindly sent that to me and I watched it. I watched it today.
Excellent. And so just wanted to get your feedback on it, really. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think one of the reasons we are being so heavily hacked today is because maybe what I'm going to say. Let's talk about the Urantia book. Oh, by the way, Kerry, if we lose communication, if the other person can let the other person know.
Okay.
Okay. The Urantia book. I don't normally make notes. People who know me well, go to my conferences or watch me on podcasts will know that I generally don't make notes. But I've had to make notes simply because somebody in the last half an hour sent me a YouTube video, which I wanted to look at and make notes for this. I want to talk about the Urantia book. I have grave concerns regarding this remote viewing. And I want to tell you what those grave concerns are. The Urantia book was actually published in 1955 by the Urantia Foundation, and it was called the Urantia book. In one of the sections, it talks about, and I'm going to do it word for word, it says, your world is called Urantia, and you are in the planetary system of Satania. That's S-A-T-A-N, Satan, I-A, Satania. Then on another section, it says the grand universe number of your world is 5,342,482,337,666. 666. Now, any book that gives a number of 666 and the word Satania, S-A-T-A-N-I-A, is a book that I wouldn't want to use, and I fully understand what that book is about. And this is all documented. People can go and look this up, and they'll see that what I'm saying is truthful. So I have grave concerns about the Urantia book. That's my first point. My second point is that half an hour before we went on, one of our listeners sent me a video, which is readily available on YouTube, and it's called The Mantis Extraterrestrial, Everything You Need to Know. I'm going to repeat that. Mantis Extraterrestrial, Everything You Need to Know. Now, I have grave concerns because there appears to be, in the presentation of Brett Stewart, there would appear to be lifting directly from this YouTube video, and I'm going to give evidence of that. At the 1.56 minute mark on the video, there is a drawing extremely similar to the drawing that Brett Stewart uses in his presentation. And at the 9.30 mark, he uses word for word the presentation, which is along the words that they wish to conquer rather than see human ascension. So I have grave concerns because there appears to be lifting directly from this video. Also, it talks about mantis having oily skin. He said that. Extra joints on their necks and their arms. He said that. I'm shocked, actually. I'm shocked. So
Simon, yep. Can I just break in here asking you which came first? Brett's viewing or this so-called website?
The website pick was 2017.
Okay, so it was a year before. That's very, very interesting. And you know, just let me also say for the viewers that Brett is very well aware that we're doing this discussion today, and he is going to come on my show to discuss his viewing. He's traveling at the moment, but in probably the next few weeks. And he is an admirer of yours, by the way.
Right. Let me make it clear. I've actually gone on public record as saying that his work is good. I've said that. I've said that he's very accurate. And this is not a criticism of him. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't do that. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that I have issues with this particular piece of work. I have issues with this particular remote viewing. I don't have issues with Brett Stewart. I have issues with this, and I'm giving evidence as to where those issues are.
Okay, Simon, sorry about this. Can I ask you to lift your head up a bit because you're sort of...
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking at my notes because I had to make all my notes tonight. Okay, so that's why my head is down.
In a weird situation here because I'm having to put you visually on the camera here, and you're kind of low down. So if you look down, it actually makes it even worse. It's kind of difficult. Go ahead.
Okay. In the drawing that Brett showed, he showed this creature. Can you see that? I've just drawn that drawing.
Yes.
It's not the drawing. It's my representation of what I saw. Now, Brett does use the word mantis-like, and occasionally he uses the word mantis. This is what the mantis actually looked like. Okay, that's the mantis. This is not a mantis. This is called by the United States military an insectoid.
They're
very
okay.
different. Very different. The big thing here is in the drawing that Brett's done, it's got antennae. It's got strange tentacle-like things coming out of its mouth. And its eyes are very different from this, which is a mantis. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second thing is interesting because Brett's team seem to remote view a spacecraft of this shape. Triangles or pyramid shapes we associate with the Greys or with the secret space program. Mantis use a craft that's teardrop shaped like that. So that was an issue for me. So what I think is that Brett has remote viewed a being which is not a mantis. It is an insectoid. And James Forrestal, the very first United States Secretary of Defense, who was Secretary for the United States Navy prior to that, and died in very mysterious circumstances, he was actually taken in about 1947, 1948, to a crashed craft that contained insectoid creatures, almost exactly like the ones that Brett has drawn. And in that craft, he saw for the first time very non-human looking aliens, and his not his nervous breakdown, but his desire to tell the truth to the public in the US, as against President Truman's wish to keep quiet, began to give him some very serious issues. And your audience will know the story. He went to hospital. He was put on the 16th floor, and they say that he committed suicide. And there are great grave issues here because broken glass was found on the bed. There were some reports of a dressing gown cord that had been put around his neck, but that was later dropped. But one thing I wanted to talk about that's not widely known, when James Forrestal was taken into hospital, supposedly suffering with overexhaustion, Dr. Rayner, who was the psychiatric doctor who saw him, and I'm going to quote exactly, said, and this is a quote, Dr. Rayner said, "We considered electric shock treatment, but thought it better to postpone it for 3 months, as there is a grave danger of suicide. So, strangely enough, we left that out." Strange, because that's actually what happened. So they wanted to give the guy who was in charge of the defense electric shock treatment, knowing full well that it could produce suicide. And then they said, well, we didn't give him the electric shock. But what caused all this was the alien spacecraft, which was either brought down or crashed, which contained insectoid beings, not mantids, insectoids, which is exactly like the creatures that Brett has drawn. So I do believe that there are lots and lots of different races, lots of insectoids, but the US military is quite clear a mantid is a mantid, or as you guys say, a mantis. In the UK, in Britain, we say mantid, but they make a division between mantis and insectoid. And the US military is very, very wary of insectoids and is more used to dealing with the mantids. So I think that what happened is Brett has identified these insectoids and has perhaps seen a few videos and therefore used the term mantid when it's actually incorrect. So I'm not at all criticizing the remote view. What I'm saying is those ain't mantids. Those are insectoids.
Okay, very interesting. We'll have to pursue this further in the future. But thank you for that. Very, very gotcha. Interesting. I myself have doubts about the Urantia book, actually. And that doesn't mean the whole thing is bogus. It just means that there may be some issues there. So I appreciate your point of view on that as well. So at this point, and kind of, I guess I can come into the frame here. This is, I don't know if you can see what we're doing here, but it's quite.
No, I've still got just got your ordinary picture up.
All right. So, we're kind of, I'm trying to broadcast at the same time, have you on the screen. So it's quite a strange, and I've got you on a different computer and my computer is a, anyway, it doesn't matter. So,
sure.
In a few minutes, I'll try the YouTube and see if indeed they're honestly trying to give me back my channel or not. And then we'll just deal with that because the logistics here are not perfect. But at any rate, it's great to be able to, you know, there were a number of people sitting by to hear the live show. And Neil, my partner, has put the link directly to come over here. So I think they did come over. I'm assuming they did. And then we will put this live on this recording on my main YouTube channel, which is still.
What I would say is the establishment, the elite, have no right to prevent information going to the public. But that's what they do time and time again. They wish to stop the truth reaching the public, and this is how they do it. And to me, it's ridiculous because it's just confirming the truth. You know, if they left it alone, then people would say, well, you know, it was a fair run. But when we are hacked or we're stopped or we're interfered with, you have to ask the question, why so? What is the point of that? Why are they trying to prevent information going to the public? And you know, I'll leave it at that.
Exactly. So in terms of what else is going on here, I do want to get an update on many subjects that, you know, as we do, and I've had you on the show a number of times and you do a great job. So if we can run down sort of a laundry list, and there's a lot going on out there in the world. So in terms of to wrap up this Manted agenda, could you, in your understanding, tell me what you think the Manted agenda is at this time? And then we'll move on to these other subjects.
Sure. The Mant, in the true sense, not the insectoids, the Mantids actually want humanity to ascend. Unlike the Greys and the Reptilians and AI, which actually want humanity to be bottled up and held in the position of slavery. The reason that the Mantids want humanity to survive is that real true Mantids come from this earth. They were not brought here and they didn't travel here. They actually are indigenous, something like 144 million years ago when they first evolved. Now, they are connected to humanity. And there's a lot in Brett's presentation, which is, I believe, accurate. If humanity evolves and goes to the fifth dimension, so will the Mantis. Unlike the Reptilians, which will be trapped in the fourth, and the Greys, which will be stuck in the fourth, the Mantids have every reason to see humanity evolve. They do not win if we are stuck in the third dimension. They don't get anything out of it. So, again, I can only speak for the creatures that have associated with me. I can't make a generalized sweeping statement, and I wouldn't ever dream to do that. So all I can say is that the beings that have associated with me, I'm what, over 50 years old now, so it's more than 50 years in my lifetime, have been consistent and have been reasonably open. I don't expect them to be 100% open, but they've answered every question I've ever asked them. And I have never seen anything that's worried me. Unlike reptilian encounters, I've seen plenty of things with the reptilians that have concerned me, as with the Greys. And so I can only speak from my own personal experience, which is that the true Mantids, not the insectoids, have a much more positive agenda as far as humanity is than almost any other non-human group.
Okay. Well, I can say that I interviewed Mark Richards for the eighth time recently and just released that interview online. And he says that the mantids are working in a positive way, as are the raptors with the U.S. military. So that's what he has to say about the matter. So in now to move on to other subjects, Syria, the chemical attack, which was not a chemical attack, and has been proven by Robert Fisk, an excellent journalist, as well as others who went to the site. Anything that you would like to say about that attack, whether there's actually a coup going on, if there was dissension within the military of the Trump administration, whether he's really in control, what's going on there? Any thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, he is in control, and he didn't have a wobble. Take you back in history. The United States, not as an individual, as a president, but as a country, as a superpower, set itself up as the policeman of the world. The United States is known and seen by every nation on earth as the policeman of the world. So when the cabal managed to put across a supposed gas attack or chemical attack, it put the American government in a position that it had to be seen to either deny it outright or to act. Because of the recent poisoning of a guy called Schiphol in Great Britain, tempers were very high right across the diplomatic world. And a number of advisors went to President Trump and said, we've got to be seen to do something. If we don't, then the United States will lose its ability to project its authority in any country in the world. Right, so what happened was Trump said, okay, we'll strike three targets, and these targets will better be military bases. So that was arranged. The Russians, through President Putin, then made it clear through the Russian ambassador to the United Nations that if any Russian personnel were killed by American missiles, Russia would consider itself at war with the United States of America. Now, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, we never even had that. So that's what's said. Now, everybody went scurrying away. And what happened was that President Trump phoned President Putin and said, you've got 24 hours to move all of your assets out of these locations. This is where we're going to strike. Putin said, that's fine. You give me time to move my men and equipment out. Not one single Russian soldier will be killed. Therefore, we don't have an issue. So both Putin and Trump had an understanding and an arrangement. They organized it. They both realized that President Trump was in a very difficult position. He had to be seen to act. Now, the fly in the ointment here is that an element of the Israeli Kabbalistic government then used that as a cover to attack other places in Syria and to try to cover it up as all a part of that one attack. In terms of the Americans, they used cruise missiles, but the Israelis used missiles from, or I beg your pardon, three-four bombs from an F-15 fighter. So that's what's been going on there. So Trump has not caved in. He was outmaneuvered by a diplomatic position, so he had to act.
Very interesting. Okay, so in terms of the Salisbury attack, I'd also like you to address that, if you don't mind. And my understanding is that there is a nerve biological warfare organization company in that area of Salisbury, and that's where the so-called nerve agent came from, and that this person and his daughter were attacked, that they are okay at this time, and that there was a cover-up and they tried to pin it on the Russians. What is your understanding?
The mistake that the British government made was that it came out categorically said that the Russians were behind it. Now, you don't make statements like that unless you can prove it in a court of law. And basically what President Putin did was turn around and said, you prove it. And then there was a lot of backtracking from the British government because they realized that they actually couldn't prove it. The Russians have stockpiles of this chemical agent. So does every other major country in the world. The laboratory you're referring to is called Porton Down. And I think it's just a very few miles from where this attack occurred. And the Russians then said, well, you want to be looking closer to home, but that material has come out of your own laboratory, used by certain agents to make it look like a Russian attack. Now, the reason the Russians were vulnerable was back in the late 1970s, a guy was murdered because he was stabbed in the leg by a brolly, an umbrella, we say, and in it was a ricin chemical. So the Russians or the Russian groups have been known to use chemical agents in attacks. So therefore they were vulnerable to the suggestion or the labeling of, you know, you've done it once before, you do it again. But that doesn't stand up in a court of law. And why it all fell apart was ultimately no British agent or government could prove that the Russians were behind it. And it was just as possible as a single operator, an independent, paid for by an individual or an organization to take out the attack because it would cause a diplomatic incident. And that's really what we're looking at.
Okay. If I can back up a little bit, you're saying an agent was used, right?
I'm saying an agent was definitely used, yes.
Okay, and because there are still articles coming out saying they're still working on cleaning it up, whatever that means. But there was also this issue of, in essence, collateral damage, which meant that there were several other people, and we don't probably even know for sure how many, that were affected by this this agent. And that this is very sloppy work, even by someone who's attempting to take somebody out, I suppose. Because what came back to me from my secret sources was that Putin is very accurate, that he doesn't have collateral damage. If he goes after somebody, he kills that somebody, and so on. That is at least what I was told. So how can you explain that collateral damage issue?
Because the agent that was used had no experience in that particular material. It was also expected that it would kill the agent. Therefore, the agent wouldn't be able to speak. The agent was told to use this material in a set way, which was unsafe. But the agent had no experience of it and followed the letter of the book.
Okay, so did the agent die?
That I don't know. Oh. I honestly, truly don't know.
Okay. All right. Very, very interesting. All right. So let's move over to North Korea and South Korea and why all of a sudden there's an about face by Kim Il-jung or Un to suddenly be doing business with the West. And I believe it has to do with rare earth minerals that have been found in Korea that can be used for space travel. But there may be some other extenuating circumstances. Any thoughts on that?
Yes. we need to go back a couple of years. The North saw that its days were numbered and started to experiment with long-range missiles in a hope to provoke not a war, but a diplomatic incident that would put back the peace process. And that failed. Now, the reason we are at this stage now is just before Christmas, the United States of America, under President Trump, had a very interesting conversation with both the Russians and the Chinese. And President, you won't find this in the newspaper. This is not in the press. Trump said to both Russia and China, we've had enough of the North. I have authorized an attack. Russia and China, for the first time, instead of blocking this, agreed. And China said, we'll agree to you attacking, providing there is no boots on the ground and you don't go above the demarcation parallel line. So for the first time, both Russia and China agreed to a rocket bomb attack on the north. As soon as that message was given to the leader of the north, he realized his position was untenable. You'll also know that Chinese troops, 150,000 Chinese troops, were deployed to the border. And the West, when they got hold of this, said, oh, you know, the Chinese are going to protect the North. If there's a war, the Chinese soldiers will fight with the North. That just shows the nonsense. The Chinese soldiers were there to prevent the elite from the North escaping. They actually bottled up North Korea, and that was the final warning to the North. They had to play ball. So it's been agreed that, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but it's been agreed that the leader of the North will not be prosecuted. He will be given an honorific, it's our title in Great Britain, you might use the words in the US, of a ceremonial role, but he won't actually play a part in running the country. So we're looking at unification. First stage is to remove the nuclear weapons, and then after some paperwork, there will be unification between the North and the South. The only reason this unification has come about is because President Trump actually stood up, bless you, President Trump actually stood up to the North and said, oh, I've had it with you, I'm going to blow you to pieces. And China and Russia actually said to America, go ahead and do it. And the reason that they did this change of face was because North Korea had developed nuclear weapons and a missile that could reach not just American real estate, but anything to do with China and Russia. So what we had was, for the first time in many, many years, an agreement that North Korea had gone too far. Now, there's also the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, who both financially controlled the North and the South, and they then came to an arrangement that they would withdraw their interests from the North and the South. You talk about the rare metals, you're absolutely right, but there's also a ton of gold there as well, hidden in the caves. It's one of the reasons that there was the war in Korea to start with, and in Vietnam. So we're looking, let's just call it precious metals. That covers the whole gamut. There are precious metals in the North, and the question is, how is that going to be divided up between the major powers? So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Okay, great.
Bless you, Perry.
Sorry, it's actually.
It's probably an energy attack against you.
Right. So, I wanted to know. I don't know, you know, how much you pay attention or hear anything about my work, but recently Mark Richards actually leaked something that was very, very interesting. And it is about North Korea. And maybe this is why I'm, what's happening. They're attacking my throat chakra is being.
Yeah, that is a satanic attack on you. Okay. I want you to really just protect yourself now. You've got a lot of love from all of your audience and me, and this attack just has got to stop. It has just got to stop.
Okay, thank you. So what happens is, he said that North Korea and China have a problem. They need to get rid of population. And he gave numbers. He gave very specific numbers. I'm not great with numbers, but I think he said something on the order of 10 million in North Korea and something like 100 million in China, and that they are looking for a way to do that, where they won't be obviously found out. And Mark is trying to prevent this, obviously, by outing this information. And it's interesting timing that he told me this in, it was late March. I went to Egypt, and so I wasn't able to release the transcript and the video until April, but so that is a very interesting piece of information. I don't know if you've heard it. This new sort of move does seem to interfere again with their plans. I'm not sure what you would want to say about that, but I just wanted to throw that out.
No, I know that you, I've met Mark Richards' wife, and as far as I'm concerned, they're incredibly genuine. I've never met the man, but I've met his wife, and I follow the work.
Thank you.
Absolutely convinced that he should not be in jail. He should be released immediately. So I didn't know that he'd release that. It broadly matches information that was available some years ago, although the numbers are new to me. Certainly, I was aware that they were looking for a reduction of people in that location, but no numbers had been given. So that in itself is interesting. That's something I'd had a few years ago, and you've just said something which clicks onto that.
Okay, and I will say that he does state to me that he is still under orders, so to speak. So if he released that information, he has been allowed to release it by the people that he reports to. Just for the record.
I would link this back. I would go back to what I said, that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers have withdrawn their interest from Korea.
That's an interesting statement. He also has said in my interviews that North Korea was sort of feeling very strong for a while because of their a certain ET race that had aligned themselves with North Korea purposefully. So I don't know the status on that relationship at this time, but it certainly is very interesting in the circumstances that we're discussing here. So he's neglected to, or he will not tell me the name of the particular race they're associated with.
I would suggest it's quite scaly, personally.
So, okay. And now what I'd like to discuss is the rest of the world situation. There seems to be, I just had a person write to me, so I'm going to highlight their particular email, which is talking about this influx of immigration in Germany, which is really destabilizing the country. And the person was perplexed. I cited Agenda 21 as being a likely reason in part for the, you know, in other words, agenda behind allowing this to happen. The other thing that I notice is that if you want Agenda 21 to pass, you know, with countries and for the people to get on board, then if you create a situation that's a lot like what happened before Hitler came to power. So you destabilize, you have chaos, and out of chaos you bring order, and then the people will welcome the order, this being the thought. So I wondered, I know that this is also happening in the UK. I don't think as much problems are happening as been described to me as in Germany, but certainly there are problems, and I imagine France is experiencing some of this as well. So any thoughts on the movement of populations, forced movement of populations?
Yes. I like the word destabilization. Whenever we talk about refugees or migrants, it's an incredibly emotive subject, and you can have the finger of racism pointed at you straight away. So, you know, we're going to talk about this in a very factual way. And the factual way is this: in Germany, over 1 million refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call it, 1 million people who don't necessarily speak German, who have a different religion, who have a different culture, who dress differently, were in a very short space of time brought into that country. Those pictures of those people, great lines, seas of people making their way from war-torn areas and being settled in Germany, because the German Chancellor had agreed to it, Angela Merkel, was flashed all over the world and had a huge effect here in Great Britain, and was one of the primary reasons that Great Britain voted to leave the European Union, because night after night after night, Premier Television showed hundreds of thousands of people streaming across borders. And that made Great Britain's majority of people vote to leave Europe. So that's one very important, mustn't be underestimated, effect of that. If you take a country and you try to change its value-based system by introducing people who are not of your country, you will cause riots and revolution. And I believe in many cases that's exactly what they intended. You spoke about France. It's quietened down now, but for the last 12, 15 months, there have been some very substantial riots. And in fact, just over a year ago, the French were on the point of losing control of a number of their cities because the riots were so bad. So it's a program created by a small cabalistic elite to destabilize the most powerful countries. And if we look at Germany today, and my website, simonparks.org, I actually put a note out saying that Deutsche Bank is officially now near to collapse. There's an article which I've copied onto my website from the local newspaper, or I should say the major newspaper, the Daily Express. They'd interviewed a number of Deutsche Bank employees, and the Deutsche Bank employees said they didn't think their bank could survive. That's the situation. Their own bank employees telling the press they don't think their bank will survive. So Germany is a key place. It is the central place. More wars have been orchestrated from the central area than almost anywhere else. And it's going to be a place that politically can be manipulated and used. And that's exactly what's been going on.
Okay. Now I want to segue over to Antarctica, now that we're focusing on Germany, because through my investigations, and I have to say my recent interview again with Mark Richards does highlight a lot about Antarctica and the relationship between a lot of trips happening, for example, between the U.S. and our U.S. government, that is, and Antarctica, and whoever is running the show down there, which appears to be centered at New Berlin, and so on. So, in other words, we know about Michael Shrimpton, and by the way, both Simon and Michael Shrimpton will be speaking at my Awaken Aware conference this summer. So if you want to see them in person at a great venue at the High Elms in Watford, I encourage you to buy your tickets now because they will be sold out. But at any rate, Michael Shrimpton, as you know, has highlighted what is called the Abwehr. The DVD is the more modern name for it. That's short for words I can't pronounce necessarily. But basically that harks back to Hitler's Germany and the fascist sort of situation. I'm told that the fascists are alive and well down in Antarctica, and they are very instrumental in the New Berlin base. So my question to you is, what have you got to say, or what are your sources telling you, et cetera, about what's going on with Antarctica? And of course, the finds in which the ice is melting and Atlantis is being revealed.
Right. Shrimpy, as he's known to his friends, was the first, that's Michael Shrimpton. Sorry, the audience probably think I'm eating shrimps. I'm not. Michael Shrimpton, known to his friends as Shrimpy, very genuine guy, worked for British intelligence, and he's the only person I've heard who knows something that I know, and that is that during the Korean War, when the United States, I think it was the United States Air Force, they changed, didn't they? They were the Air Force. Field or Air Force, they were different. I know they became the United States Air Force in the mid to late 40s. The US were flying their new F-86 Sabre jets, and they were combating the Russian MiG-15s, which were supposed to be flown by North Koreans, but probably were flown by Chinese. Now, Shrimpy says that he was aware that when the two sides were engaging with their very early jet fighters, the ground control for the American Air Force was able to eavesdrop on the North Korean or Chinese radio, and they heard German being spoken. And in fact, what it would be when the pilots of the MiG-15s would detect an F-86 Sabre, they would say, Achtung, Achtung, Sabre, which is German. It's certainly not North Korean, and it's certainly not Chinese. There's a reason for this, because the MiG-15 was a copy of the latest German jet aircraft that were coming out in 1945. The design bureau was a guy called Mikoyan, I believe, and there were a number of these scientists that made their way to Russia, to China, and through. So the Germans lost the war, but the Nazis did not. So question that I'm often asked by people is, well, if Hitler had flying saucers, why did he not win the war? And that's a really good question. If you've got flying saucers that can fly to Antarctica, why on earth didn't you win the war? And the reason is this, that whilst the Nazis had flying disc technology, they did not have energy beam weapons. And what they tried to do was to mount a traditional cannon or artillery gun on these craft, and found that every time they fired it, it completely destabilized the magnetic field and the disc fell out of the sky. It wasn't until the early days, just after Roswell crash, in fact, it was an F-86 Sabre yet again, that, that the German paperclip scientists had devised an energy, very primitive microwave. Remember, microwaves were rediscovered by a Scottish scientist in 1938, and the British Prime Minister gave the microwave technology to the President of the United States in 1939, hoping as part of a sweetener to bring the US on the side of Britain during the war. Anyway, that's by the by. So this F-86 Sabre was equipped with a microwave device in an attempt to destabilize any craft that flew on a magnetic bearing. So while Hitler had flying technology, he couldn't weaponize these crafts. So what he had to do was get them to a hiding place. There was already connections in Antarctica, so that's where they went. That's why there's a sizable German technology there. Now, you talked about Atlantis. What we're looking at in Antarctica is a modern enclave of Nazis, but based on an incredibly ancient technology. This ancient technology is more superior than the technology that the Greys have given to the United States any time from the 1950s to now. This technology, an Atlantean technology, is incredibly old, but it is revolutionary. And what I expect is that the deal has been done, and President Trump will begin to get some of this advanced technologies. And they will release the older technologies to the world, and it will be this new technology that makes America great again. President Trump has often talked about making America great. He needs this technology to do that. So it's an exciting time, a very important point.
Yes. Well, that coincides with something recently a secret witness of mine mentioned. He didn't say that, but he alluded to, wasn't there an interesting relationship between the grandfather's technology that he, you know, suppressed from Tesla, it, helping the, you know, New World Order in their job back in those days. And then Trump getting into power. And wouldn't it be interesting if Trump was going to suddenly try to right the scales that had been wronged, in the sense, and use his position to then bring those technologies back. I know that the dark magicians love to sort of rebalance the scales when it suits their purposes. So this is a very interesting dynamic going on. And when he said that to me, that's exactly kind of where my mind went. So I did put that out. I forget where I put it out. I might have put it in an article. But at any rate, it's very interesting that you're saying this now. Obviously, it's, you know, it can't be a coincidence that Trump is related to the very man who was instrumental in suppressing the Tesla technology. And then here we are at this time, which we're at a very critical juncture in terms of energy.
I fully agree. I mean, let's not forget why President Trump decided to run for president. I don't know how many of your audience actually know the real truth rather than what's been put out, but the real reason that President Trump decided that he would run for office was because one of his children was badly affected by a normal vaccination. And when he, because he's a billionaire, when he paid for the finest medical science he could get to look at this, he was horrified at what he found. And as a result of that, he decided that he would run for president because he wanted to put right the wrongs. That's why the man was driven to it. And that's why he was a wild card and nobody expected it. And that's why he took them all by surprise, because this wasn't something that he had been serious about until very recently.
Very interesting. Thank you for that. So I don't want to keep you too long. I know we've even been delayed, but
I'm happy to do a few questions, Kerry. I would be right if I didn't.
All right, very good. So if you're just going to bear with me 1 second, I have to plug this other computer in because it would be terrible to lose you. Right in the midst of all of this.
That's okay, I'll wait, Kerry. No problem.
It's a miracle that YouTube is actually, I mean, not YouTube, but Facebook is hanging in here for this. So that's kind of amazing. I have no idea what, I mean, I hope the picture I'm seeing is the picture that we're ultimately going to be seeing on YouTube. So
if it's not, we'll do it again.
All right. Thank you for that. So here we go. So I'm going to look and see if people who are chatting, and I do see a chat going by here. If you want to put questions, please put them in all caps in part so I can read them, because I'm at a very awkward angle on this screen so that I can have both of us or at least get Simon here. And I need to be able to see what's going on. I have to be a distance away from the computer so I don't cover the screen with my body, so to speak. It's a very awkward situation here. If you want to ask him a question, please put it in all caps, okay?
While we're waiting for that, can I just thank you, Kerry, for not giving in and for making sure that the dark side didn't win tonight? You went ahead and you were determined to get this somehow. And no, listen to me. That's why the audience really respect you, because you don't just throw your hands up and have what we say in Great Britain, a hissy fit and run off. You actually think, no, I'm going to work my way around this. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that you have so much respect amongst the industry.
Thank you. Thank you for that. The force was with me in one sense, for sure, because, at the last minute, this sort of not such a brilliant idea to come on Facebook Live occurred to me. I had gone over to Livestream as a place that I used to go to broadcast, and found out that they are now astronomically expensive. So that wasn't an out. I actually tried to start another YouTube channel. These are all the things that I did behind the scenes in those 5 or 10 minutes when we were down. This was just a lucky guess, and then it did work. So this is excellent.
What I would say, Kerry, is that when we make decisions quickly like that, it does not give the enemy time to recalibrate. You probably calculated, they had calculated that you would go through YouTube and try and do that. But when you went through Facebook, they did not have enough time to contact their friends and do what they would like to have done.
Absolutely. Very good. Yeah, I have noticed that we're purposely rerouted all the time when we're headed to a destination. And I am sure that it is the positive side that are rerouting us so that the negative side can't get to us. And this happens to us constantly. So I know that that you're right about that. The chat is going through very quickly. So if people, again, you have to put your questions in all caps. This is a great opportunity for you to ask a question of Simon. One question that did go by a while ago was a person who had obviously been listening and said, why do they need to eliminate so many people?
This is to do with China. Is that correct? That's in relation to China.
They didn't specify, but I imagine since we discussed the agenda of North Korea and China that was outed by Mark, it's possible.
Well, let's talk about Africa. There was a plan some time ago to do exactly the same because another group of off-planet people, it was mooted, could be moved in to these derelict locations. But that's not quite what we're looking at here with the China. This is more to do with China wishing to become a not just a superpower, but a universally built superpower, and wishes to restructure some part of its country. To put it bluntly, China wishes to take over the position of America, but doesn't want to do it in a war, wants to do it in a non-violent fashion. And it needs to rebuild or restructure. Okay.
So we're going live again. And it looks like we are live again. So as I said, they did shut us down on Facebook. Suddenly, it looks like the video was saved. I believe it's still going to be there. But this is sort of a wrap up, and we were hoping to get questions from our audience. Obviously, that's been interfered with. The audience will make it over. But I don't know that we can really sit here and wait for that to happen. It's quite, you know, I see people trying to log in quickly. So for those that are in the chat, if you have a question very quickly for Simon, rather than have him sit around and wait, please do ask your questions now. Trying to imagine if there's anything that we haven't touched on that they might be wanting to ask you. Simon, is there anything that you can think of? Hold on.
No, I always prefer to let the audience come up with their questions. Those questions are personal.
Someone's asking something about the mantids blending in with humans. So I guess they're kind of trying to figure out, you know, are they manifesting in this dimension? Maybe that's a corollary to that same question.
Well, I have one very useful memory of being in a military facility with both British military, not American military, but that's because I'm a Brit, so I wouldn't associate with the US military as a kid, and Mantis actually in the same place working together quite happily without any bad feeling between them. So there is a very strong, and Mark Richards is absolutely right, there's a very strong positive bond between the US military and the British military and the true mantis or mantids, the true mantis or mantids. In terms of blending in with the humans, nope, can't do it because mantis are between 8 foot and 12 foot tall, and you just couldn't do it. There's just no way. So they have to be involved either off planet or under human military bases, deep underground bases. They're not like reptilians. They don't really like to be seen above ground. Very rarely will you see a mantis above ground.
Okay. Someone's asking about the planetary grid. What's happening with it?
The grid is still in place, and there are still holes in it, but the grid is still in place. It's part of the what we call a lockdown, or part of the control system to prevent anybody really escaping, or potentially anybody coming in. And that sort of contamination field will remain until we have disclosure and the dark forces have been completely eradicated, not just from our planet, but from this whole quadrant, this whole section. So we still have a containment area, both energetically and physically, around the Earth. All the portals, the major portals, are guarded. I don't mean portal to portal technology in terms of within the Earth. You know, you go to Romania and then you can come out at the Great Pyramid. That's open. But what's not open is those portals that take you off into another dimension. They've all been sealed up by the good guys.
Okay, that's interesting. I would like to get more into depth on that, but I think that we have so many questions here that...
Yeah, let's do a few questions and the audience get...
Yeah, it would be better. So somebody's saying something, or actually a few people, something about an event. Is there some event that you yes. have been referring to? Can you elaborate?
No. This has been talked about in very... divine feminine spiritual circles. And I was asked this on my last radio show, I think, with Ted Marr, and asking me if I was aware of this event. It's not the same energy wave from the sun that we're used to. How the establishment would look on it is more of a solar flare. This event is a short, sharp, positive shock that I am expecting. Which is designed to break some of the bonds energetically that trap humans in this paradigm. What you might see is disruption to communications, landline, cell phone, internet that might be affected. And I did make the point that in my country here in Great Britain, for the last 5 years, the power companies have been running around like crazy, double earthing as many electrical installations as they can. I would guess they've done that in the States. It must have cost a huge amount of money, and the only reason they've done that is they are expecting one heck of a blast of energy at some point, which from an establishment point of view will damage the communications and therefore their money, but from the ascension point of view will knock out AI, artificial intelligence. We will have a gap, a window of opportunity when AI is disinfected, and then we will probably have to do something within that window of opportunity before AI can regenerate itself. So that is what the event is.
Fascinating. Okay, and again, I know this might sound like a broken record, but Mark Richards is a very high-level interviewee in our view, and I have... just done an interview with him. He mentioned quite a bit more about AI. He's been very slow coming with information pertaining to AI, because his orders are that for some reason, the point of view of the state, or whatever you want to say, the deep state, is that humanity is not ready to know the dangers involved with AI. But he did allude to a few AI that are dangerous, many are not. And so it's interesting you're saying this, because there is some information in his recent interview that probably might give some hints as to how this might come about. Now, someone here is asking about the Pope, and being from Argentina, the Nazi connection, et cetera. Do you want to say anything about that?
Well, you know, my own grandfather, my paternal grandfather, and my own mother never believed that Adolf Hitler died as he was supposed to do. They all said he escaped via an aeroplane, two aeroplanes, one light aeroplane, then one bigger aeroplane, and then a submarine. and went to Argentina. In fact, many of the streets and roads have German names, and some places look like mini Austria with the beer kellers, typical German or Austrian architecture. So we shouldn't be surprised that the Fourth Reich has been able to project itself into major positions of power. And therefore, it's absolutely no surprise that certain individuals in high places can, you know, trace back to Argentina. One thing that might make our audience or your audience smile, Kerry, is that when Hitler arrived in Argentina, he did a deal with Eva Perón's husband. And, you know, that's how the deal went. Then when he died, she reneged on that deal and took maybe 75% of all the stolen gold and loot that he had actually managed to get to Argentina. And he did it in the submarine. They took all the torpedoes out of the submarine and stuffed all the torpedoes with gold. That's what they did. And Eva Perón said, if you basically don't give me the majority of your gold, I'm going to tell the world where you are. And a friend of mine, through a friend of mine, was around some years ago in one of Eva Perón's many buildings, palaces that she had, and there was doing redevelopment, and a wall was being knocked down to extend. And when they knocked the wall down, it was made of gold bars, literally gold bars for bricks and plaster board on top of it. So the gold was actually in the walls of these houses. The public generally haven't a clue as to the lies and the deception. And when Mark Richards talks about the AI, the problem we've got is that there is one faction attempting 5G, or as they say in other countries, G5, which is a very high frequency form of Wi-Fi, which will allow a fourth dimensional entity to exist in that and will infect humans and will try to mass brain wipe or brain control large numbers of the population. And the reason that Mark Richards is probably not allowed to go public is because there is, as we speak, a battle being fought between the cabal group and the good guys as to what is the outcome of that.
Very, very good. Okay, so lots. I'm sorry, Simon, there's so many questions coming along.
Let's
here.
Do a few more. If you've got your voice, I'll sit up a bit longer. Let's do a few more.
Yeah, I'm fine now. Thank you for your help with that. Okay, so someone wants to know, it's up to you whether you want to get personal here, but someone is asking about Jeff Sessions, whether, I guess, in essence, who he's really working for.
More interesting to me is the Edgar Hoover building. The issue that Trump had was never the NSA or the CIA. It was always the FBI. Let's not forget that JFK, the people who have a great deal to answer for that situation are the FBI, not the CIA so much, or the NSA. So the interesting thing for me is the FBI. There are two individuals, I'm not going to name them. There are two individuals at the FBI who need to be removed. And when I mean removed, I do not mean assassination. I mean pushed upstairs, retired, given a pension, whatever. There are two that need to go. And then when that happens, we can hope to see some of these indictments naming paedophiles in high positions of the system start to be enacted on. There are a number of people in positions who have a great opportunity now to repent their sins and to join the common cause of humanity. And let's hope that many of them decide to do that.
Okay, from your mouth to their ears. Let's see, someone's asking it about etheric implants, wonders if you can tell them a technique for removing them.
Right, we have to be incredibly careful. All implants, this is what I'm going to tell you is about all implants. You cannot assume all implants are evil. You cannot assume that if you have an implant, it's evil, you've got to get rid of it. I know of many cases where people are being kept alive because some force has recognized that an individual has a heart problem or this problem or that problem, and they had foreseen in the next 5, 6, 7 years that person is going to prematurely die. And some of those implants actually keep those individuals alive. So I always say this to my clients, if you are going to have an implant out, you better make jolly sure that it is just a tracker or it's designed to control your emotions. In other words, it's a negative implant. Do not take out an implant that's designed to help you. Now, etheric implants are relatively new. They were the product of Atlantean technology. Interestingly enough, the divine feminine of Atlantis learned to use them, though for what purposes I'm not so sure. But the etheric implants can be traced back, many of them, to Atlantis. It's an off-planet technology. It was given to the Atlanteans from off-world. The old-fashioned physical implants, not really used by the military anymore, they have begun to convert over to etheric or energy implants, although they still use the old-fashioned physical implants for lower grade work or the individuals that they're not looking as top priority. How do we get rid of them? Well, it depends who put them there. It depends what their job is, and it depends where they are on the body or the field, because each one has to be dealt with differently. It depends on the soul of the person, because some people's vibrational force is higher because of their soul vibration, so we have to look at that. A whole heap of reasons. You can't just go in and say, right, there it is, let's get rid of it. You could cause more harm than good.
Okay. Someone is asking about reptilian. I think what they're trying to say is reptilian human hybrids, how to recognize them in our society.
Right, they're specifically asking for reptilian human hybrids. It actually is quite difficult to say whether you're looking at a reptilian human hybrid or something else, because I don't want the audience to imagine that I made the joke earlier about having scales. That isn't the case. I mean, if you look at human skin under a microscope, we do indeed have scales of some sort. And there's the answers sort of really hidden there, isn't it? Many people on the planet are hybridized anyway. And I think what the questioner is asking for is something that's really grotesque. What you're looking for is people whose hair's dropping out. They can also be a mixture of human and grey. So someone who's in the 20s, and every time they put a comb through their hair comes out. If they have no eyebrows, sometimes we see the patterns is incorrect. There'll be a finger missing or a toe missing. Some of their teeth might not be there. The whole shape of the head will be very different. But generally, human or reptilian hybrids are not allowed out to the public. They are maintained under bases. I've personally seen hybrids in bases, and I couldn't tell you whether they were a reptilian or grey replicas or hybridized. And these groups that I were watching were learning how to use a coffee grinder. So, you know, there are everyday lessons being given to these hybrids so they can survive in society. But if you don't look passable, if your human nature is so weak, you can't go out on the sidewalk because it just wouldn't work. So all you'll see are either two types. One is a human-alien hybrid, which can get away with, you know, being passed off as human. And the other group are those that are so totally alien, they use a electronic device with their own superior mind, psychic mind, to project a screen so that when people see them, they actually see an ordinary human. It's an what I call an overlay. So you normal person wouldn't notice it anyway. They would just see a person. Where you can catch them out is on camera, because a camera works differently to the naked eye. It's an electro device, and it can often capture the real image will phase in and out on a video camera, but on a still picture you might just get that. That's why on a camera you can see orbs, but most people can't see orbs with the naked eye. So your best bet is to go away on your vacation, do lots of filming, come back and sit and watch, and you will perhaps from time to time in a shopping mall or somewhere like that see one or two of these creatures that clearly aren't really human.
Okay. Let's see. I'm sorry, this chat is going by really quickly, so 1 second while I try to grab this. Somebody wants to know about Marcone and the meaning of his visit to the U.S.
I have to be quite careful with that. At the moment, there are decisions that are being taken this year will have ramifications for the next 20 years. There are things that are hopefully going to come to fruition this year, which will make this presidency stand out. You know, there are a number of meetings which the public haven't been told about. There are a number of meetings which they have, but the reason for that meeting has been hidden. And when these meetings come to some sort of fruition, you'll find that people like President Trump have a lot more maneuver space. So you perhaps ask me that in a month or 2 months' time.
Okay, someone wants to know, why can't we just get rid of the moon?
Okay. First of all, no, it's a fair question. I understand why they're asking it. I'll give you the physical, first of all, how much tonnage of explosives would you need? And where would it go to? Would we just be putting our trash somewhere else? The real reason, of course, is that until we have control of the far side of the moon, it's not the dark side, it's the far side of the moon, and the bases that are both on the surface and, more importantly, underground, before the moon's geographical estate is placed into the control of Earth and the Earth humans, then we can't do anything with the moon. At the moment, the moon is what it always was, a staging point, an observation platform to maintain communications between Mars and Earth. But once humanity breaks through the boundary, then the moon, as an artificial satellite, of course, because it's not organically grown, the moon then will come under human jurisdiction. And I guess it'll be very interesting to go on a tour of the underground bases on the moon one day.
Okay. The moon really turns my stomach. Let's see. Someone wants to know, and kind of a fun question, who was in control of the UFOs over Washington in 1952?
Very interesting. The immediate answer might be shocking to some. What had occurred prior to that at Roswell, the weeks leading up to it, there had been a number of obvious radar connections with a very fast moving craft that regularly came back. Now, this was not Fourth Reich. This was the gray aliens. But what's been going on is that the gray aliens, or particular group of the gray aliens, in communication with a reptilian group who were then in connection with the splinter faction of Nazis in Antarctica, were trying to work a good cop, bad cop routine on the US. And I know that people like Truman, Eisenhower, etc., they get a bad press. The reality is, if you have a pea shooter and somebody comes to you with a nuclear bomb, you have to buy time so that you can convert your pea shooter into a nuclear bomb. And what those US presidents did was effectively stall for time to give their scientists the chance to back engineer, etc. The group that flew over Washington were from Antarctica. It was to prevent the US at that time attempting to do any more exploration or have it as part of a US agenda to, like you know, JFK said, we're going to go to the moon. So there was many years of work towards it. Had the US administration said, we're going to go and colonize Antarctica, or we're going to set up many more bases, that would have been very uncomfortable for those people living there. So we had a combination of Fourth Reich and grey alien craft over the White House at that time. It amazes me that you never see any of the artillery shells on eBay. So many rounds of anti-aircraft were fired and didn't really hit anything. They must have fallen somewhere. I don't know why we don't see them from time to time on show.
Well, actually, the same thing with the battle over L.A., that there's questions have been asked about that. What happened to, like, the shells, et cetera, from that battle?
Very interesting, isn't it? When a solid piece of metal strikes a shield of that nature, it can be quite squashed or vaporized. You know, it is impossible to take any of the true Apollo spacecraft out of this Earth simply because any small meteorite would have punctured, I mean small, about the size of your fingernail, would have punctured the spacecraft. And those spacecraft had in the front a device that projected an electromagnetic beam, a little bit like the Van Allen belt, but differently, which deflected anything solid coming towards it. And I would suggest that there is a lack of artillery shells for that reason.
Very, very interesting. Yes. Okay. Well, I have a question about William Tompkins, since we're on the subject of, well, you brought up the Battle of L.A., or I brought it up. But he died rather suddenly. He was also told not to talk to me at a certain point when he was very, we had quite a good relationship. So I'm wondering whether he served his time and he was then given a way out and went to Mars or whatever, or whether he actually did die and if they killed him.
Right. I don't have any knowledge on the guy. What little I can tell you is that there is a history on this planet of men, not exclusively so, but predominantly so, who are on what is called their deathbed and think, to heck with this, I'm going to tell the truth. It doesn't matter anyway, because I'm going to die in a month's time. What does it matter? And I've got a conscience and I'm going to talk. And time again, we've seen ex-military or intelligence on their deathbed give a story. The cabal and the secret space program were very unwilling for that to happen with you, because you are such an incisive interviewer, because you have the knowledge. You would have asked questions that many people would not have asked. And he would have probably given you the answers. And so he was told that he was not to speak to you. I do not believe it went to Mars. I don't believe it did.
Fair enough. Okay, I think we've gone long enough here. And okay. I really do appreciate your extra time here, Simon. I know that was quite laborious at the beginning. And I'm very hopeful that both of these videos can be downloaded off of Facebook and put onto YouTube to widen the audience. So that's our plan. And I will edit them together so they're all in one video. And thank you for being here. And thanks so much for your, you know, dedication to serving humanity.
Well, listen, thank you. And, you know, never let the evil force win. Never give in. Never surrender. Never, ever allow the evil people to win. So we did this together, Kerry. We determined that we were going to see it through. You came up with a solution. Let's get it done. Get those videos up. Work through the night if you have to. Get your foot on the gas pedal. Get these things out there. Let's get the truth out to the public. Then go back to what happened with Mark Richards. Somebody said to Mark Richards, the public aren't ready to hear the truth about AI. You know what? They are ready for it. The people need the truth. I would never make a judgment that says you're ready for the news, but you're not ready. I believe in humanity, and I think people will make the right decisions. Let's give them the choice. So well done, Kerry. Well done for doing it. God bless you.
All right. You too, and take care. And thank you for the behind-the-scenes help and also for our partners, et cetera. Okay?
That's no problem. See you later. Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye.